Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to She's Raising the Bar Blog Talk Radio, coming at you, if you could believe it, from both coasts. So there you go. You can't stop us now because we got both coasts covered. We got the West Coast covered, 10 a.m., and we got the East Coast covered, 1 p.m. You know, and for anybody who's saying, you know, Lori's a real scalawag. Lori could be a liar. I'm going to bring on somebody.
That's going to validate. You're making me laugh over here on the West Coast. You're making me laugh.
I'm bringing on somebody that could validate our presence on the West Coast, and that's the very sexy, very lovely, my co-host, Lizzie Colossos. Hey, darling.
Oh,
how
my
are you?
Goodness. Hi, Lori. Oh, my gosh. That was such a beautiful and sexy introduction.
It was
I
sexy,
like
wasn't
that.
It? Thank you.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And
everybody,
you know, I was,
yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was like, it was just, I was like driving and going, wow, you know, Lori's on the East, I'm on the West. That's kind of cool. And
really,
we're bringing it together and sharing ideas.
Yeah.
And I love that concept.
It really is. It really is cool. And you know what? Because there's so much going on both coasts all the time. So it's
right,
a wonderful thing that we could bring them together. And the nice thing about this show is if you can't listen to us live, the minute we go off the air, the link that you see on the Facebook pages will go into on demand. So you can listen to us literally anytime you want. I'm not saying you want to, but you can. Should you have a couple of martinis and you want to have a couple of giggles, you can listen to us anytime you want. So that's a wonderful thing. So how are you today, Lizzie? You doing okay?
I'm doing great. And just as you say that, you know, I do listen to it later in the evening, sometimes, you know, with a glass of wine as the sun is setting, because, you know, you want to take notes and go through some of the things that you said and listen to your co-host, co-host that you love very much, which
you,
is such a nice thing to have. You don't always have that. And so I love that you have that link up there and so quickly as well. So, and you know, it's been a very, very much a learning process for me as well. And I've enjoyed everything we've done so far. That last week was super exciting. I had idea about Lori's story, the other Lori.
I know.
And
she
has overcome so much. And I think about, you know, yeah, these are hard times and I'm complaining a lot, but wow, she has kept going.
Yeah.
You know,
and
she
has. And I think that's what the great thing about today's show is, and giving like a little bit of backdrop, the show is off the air. As many things, Broadway has been dark. A lot of businesses have gone dark after, I believe it was probably March 14th on the East Coast. I don't know what happened on the West Coast. So we were off the air for a little bit. And then we came back probably 2 weeks into the pandemic, and we got a big write-up in Broadway World that we're coming back on the air, and we did the show remote. We figured out how to do it remote, and we did it. And I remember one of the first guests that we have, and you'll meet her next week, and she's lovely. One of the first guests we had back on the air was Tammy Lee Webb, she's a fitness icon, Buns of Steel franchise.
Correct.
And she's been on the show probably, I might be misspeaking, but probably at least 4 years. She's been on as a special guest, 4 to 5 years. And she was one of the first people we brought back because we're thinking, okay, this is a time where people are going to be over drinking and overeating. So we want somebody who's going to, in the fitness realm, to come into this and talk about how are we going to stay healthy physically in the pandemic. Well, that was when
right. We
thought all of this at that time. I should have looked up the show that she was on. I think it was March, maybe 22nd or something. This is when we thought all of this would be a month to 2 months tops. So here
exactly. We
are, 7 months deep. And honestly, we don't really know when it's going to end. We don't know when, you know, it's going to soften in some way that we could say, okay, we're going to make arrangements here to open up. We don't know. So Tammy Lee actually recommended Angie Miller, who's going to be on our show today. And she's also a person of health and wellness, but she's going to be speaking more on the mental and emotional aspects of which are going to be the byproducts of this pandemic. Because I don't know if you've been looking at the stats, you know, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but a lot of stats are showing that suicide rates are up among healthcare workers, cops. Those stats are up. Domestic abuse is up. So there's been
a lot of
depression that I think we're going to see as a very profound byproduct of all this. So, again, a lot of us are groping in the dark. I mean, people saying, oh, you know what, just, you know, stiff up a lip. It's going to be okay. But I think we need to know what we could do to actually, I mean, some concrete and scientific facts that we could use as tools to bring us closer to a center that we're going to need to ride us out, because honestly, we don't know where it's going to be. It might be another year. It might be 6 months. It might be 2 years. We don't know. But we need to have some sort of insulative material to help us get through it.
And that is so true, because I keep thinking, like, you know, I have milestones in my head and I go, okay, March went longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are saying, you know, okay, at first I had in my head, now we're going to go into January and everything's going to be great again.
Yeah.
And school's going to start and we're going to go back to normal. Now people say in a second wave, Lori, and it could be next September, which seems unbelievable to me. So I'm super excited about today. And, you know, I want to listen to Angie and hear her advice. And it's a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's hard. I think that people need I did research this psychologically, that people need a certain amount of uncertainty. You can't know everything that's going to happen in your life or it's not fun. But you need a certain amount of certainty as well.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a tough one, and I believe those statistics. I think a lot of people get so used to, you know, working their routine, and I've heard the people that have been forced to work from home, which some people, it sounds like a dream to do. Others are miserable, you know?
Yeah.
They're stuck with their spouse. I mean, I'm not saying every person that's stuck with their spouse is miserable, but...
Well, you know, I think
it's not always the most ideal situation.
No, I think that if you have, I mean, like John and myself, I mean, the house is big enough that my office is upstairs, his office is downstairs in the music room, and we have enough separation so that, you know, because the thing about the beauty of a relationship is when you go out in the world and you have experiences and then you bring them home and share them with your partner. And in this pandemic, we don't have that. We're just, we know what's going on. We're watching the same channels. We're doing the, we know when the cat is sick. We know when everything is happening. So there's no mystery. So there's nothing new coming into the relationship. So it's hard. So you have to make a concerted division that you know that is better for the both of you. A separation is good, and then you come together and you miss each other, and I think that's the best thing about, you know, a relationship. Yeah, you miss each other. It's like, well, I wanted to tell you, but, and I think that's what works well. So, and a lot of people, look, if you're blessed with a good relationship, it's wonderful, but there are people that aren't in relationships that are the most harmonious, and I'm being nice about it. That's, I think, what is the downside of all this. You might be, again, the romanticizing this is when, you know, you have a crush on somebody, you fall in love with somebody, the dream is you're on a desert island with them and copious amount of times, and it's, you know, and you have, you just happen to have a bottle of wine, just happen to have cheese that shows up on the sand, but that's not always what you get in a relationship.
Wow.
And maybe in the beginning, in the mid, so this is what a lot of people are finding. And again, there's a lot of layers to this, but I think that our guest is on board now. So I'm just going to bring it, because we have so much to talk about that I think that we're going to probably run out of time. So I'm going to bring Angie on right now. Angie Miller, how are you, darling?
Hello.
Hey, good.
How are you?
I'm
Hi,
doing
Angie.
Good.
Wonderful.
Hi.
Well, wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Well, that's
and
good.
And we need you. And we need you, darling.
Well,
we do. We were just talking about, I don't know if you were listening in on how, you know, I think to Liz's point that we need a certain amount of uncertainty in facts, but we also need a certain amount of certainty of knowing where things are going. And it brought me to what I was thinking about this morning. Anytime, and this is, I mean, we've had, you know, we've had occurrences in nature, we've had tragedy, we've had things that had happened, we've had Hurricane Sandy on the East Coast, Katrina, we've had things that were man-made, we've had earthquakes on the West Coast, but we've always had the knowledge that once the mechanics of the event were over, once the motion of it was over, we knew that, okay, once it ends, and it could have been an hour, 45 minutes or a couple of days, we knew we were in recovery phase. With this, we don't know. So we can't really plan on, okay, we're going to be back to, quote, quote, our norm until we don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels very powerless, and none of us.
Yeah.
All of us, I think, like to go through life and feel like we have some element of control. And and when we don't, we try to grab control where we can. And I think that's where a lot of the kind of negative habits come in. But yeah, we don't feel like we have any control. Because we don't have a lot of control right now.
No.
Probably, I mean, less than I ever remember. And, you know, it's even almost like a loss of personal autonomy, because our ability to make decisions about the way we live our lives has an impact that, you know,
exactly.
Where we go, how we spend our time, that's being kind of dictated differently for health purposes, of course, but it feels different.
Yeah. Yeah. And
now,
and
Angie, can I ask you, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, Liz, go ahead. Go right ahead, honey.
Okay. I mean, I always, you know, I don't want to be the person that's always talking about their kids, but haven't you found it especially hard on children?
You know,
and
I
the
think
parents
that...
of the children, because I have three different age groups here going on.
Well, and you know, I don't have young kids at home anymore, but I will tell you that I talk to a lot of parents who do. And frankly, I don't know who's struggling more, but I do think that you know, stuff rolls downhill. So if parents are pretty resilient and they're able to deal pretty well, kids generally do pretty well. Kids are pretty resilient.
Right.
But yeah, it's, I think it does kind of start at the top. And then, of course, personality comes in, you know, personality of kids. But yeah, that lack of socialization. I mean, I look at these, this young generation, and I think, gosh, you know, so much has been impacted for them. These kids who've tried to graduate from high school or college, these big momentous moments that, you know, that I really appreciated and enjoyed. And I'm thinking how sad that they don't.
Exactly. You know, and not even, you know, within one family, not every child is resilient as the next. Everyone's different. So, you know, even if the parents try to stay solid and, you know, tell them, be grateful for everything that you have, sometimes that doesn't always work.
Well, and, you know, gratitude's a funny thing. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Why do you think
I think I interrupted.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. It can.
I think what I always tell people is, you know, the analogy I use is I moved my daughter in ninth grade, and she had a really difficult time with the transition. And at the time, I had a fellow friend who was also a therapist, and I said, God, if this is the worst thing that will ever happen to her, then she'll live a blessed life. And my friend looked at me, and she might as well have slapped me across the face, because she said, it is the worst thing that's ever happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is
yeah.
the hardest experience she's had up to this point. And I think that's always stayed with me when I think about when somebody, it's almost like when someone says, well, be grateful for what you have, it can come across as a platitude. Like, yes, I can be grateful, but I can also be sad. Like, I can be grateful that I have a good family, but I can be sad that I have a family member who's dying.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Of course. You know, go ahead, Liz. You have another question.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, like it might not affect my daughter as much because, you know, she wasn't graduating last year. My son considers 2020 the worst year ever. So, you know, because no high school graduation, no prom, and starting college online. So that, you know, he's still trying to make the best of it. And, I know they get a little bit tired of hearing, you know, gratitude to make the best of it, but I do think it starts with the parents. But it's and I find it, I'm going to be truly transparent here. I find it hard, you know, and anxiety provoking even as a parent at times myself. When you're supposed to be strong all the time for the children, is that normal?
Yeah. Oh, I think so, and I think that. I honestly can tell you, I commend the people who have kids at home because my husband and I constantly say, I'm so glad there aren't kids here. Because you can know what you know, you can do what you do, and it doesn't mean that I haven't succumbed to anxiety and depression throughout these times. It doesn't mean that I haven't looked at my husband and thought, oh, my God, you again, because I, you know, we have no space from each other. So, I mean, you can know what you know intellectually and feel how you feel, and that is what it is. And so, oh, gosh, So while I say that stuff rolls downhill, I commend the parents because I think that everyone is really, really struggling, and I'm glad my kids aren't here to witness my struggles. So I 100% have empathy for those who are trying to manage their own stress and anxiety and then kind of, you know, be this strong suit of armor for their kids. And I think vulnerability is the key. I think we can be vulnerable for our kids. I think we can say, you know what, I struggle too. This is hard.
Exactly.
Because I do say that.
I think you're right.
I say that sometimes that, you know, this has lasted longer than I thought. And believe it or not, I've never been through something like this. You know, I'm not that old where I've experienced this before. And it is tough. And sometimes all it takes is them listening or you listening to them in their thoughts. You know, at least they can see some of their friends right now. But, of course, they are not back on a regular schedule.
No.
So, but that's interesting what you say about how you and your husband, Angie, talk about kind of being a little bit maybe a sense of relief that your kids are not there right now.
Mm-hmm.
because
it's
not easy.
Yeah. Right. And in the sense that, you know, when COVID first happened, I wanted to bring them home even as adults. I wanted to hunker in and have everybody be home. And then because you didn't know what it was going to mean. And then as time went on, I realized, oh, my gosh, you know, like four people in one home, we would have been like the four walls wouldn't have been big enough, so to speak. But I think that you're right. I think that just validating, everybody wants to be validated. You know, our feelings don't have to make sense. Our thoughts don't have to be real. But the last thing we want to hear when we tell somebody how stressed we are, we don't want them to say, well, think about what you have to be grateful for, because that's really not the point. The point is what we feel in this moment makes the difference. And sometimes we just need somebody to say, it's okay. You know?
I'm
with you.
Exactly. You know what I think also is interesting, and Liz, I didn't mean to cut you off, is the dynamic of relationships. And I said in the beginning, in probably the first show that we came in, was this is going to bring out the best in us and the worst in us. And I see the disenfranchising of relationships that this has brought about. And there have been people, and I'm going to speak from a personal, on a personal level, there are people that I expected to react a certain way and to be a little bit more outpouring of sympathy and compassion and want to help other people, and they've, you know, retreated, and it became all about me, and I'm suffering, and blah, blah, blah. And then there were people that I didn't expect inspiration from, and they stepped forward, and they were just wonderful, and they went out there, and they thought in terms of somebody else as opposed to the singular. So it's become something of a relationship divider, because I'm just saying from a personal standpoint too, it's just we've never had to look at each other with our masks off. We've never had to see I mean, most of us in our relationships, divorces, separations, job losses, parents dying, we only look at ourselves in the tragedy in sound bites. We don't really have to look in the long term. But this is something that's forced us to be side by side in a marathon where things are changing along the way, and you're seeing people drop off that you didn't expect to drop off. So I think that that's kind of the bigger issue here. We're losing relationship. We're gaining relationship, but we're losing people that we thought we knew along the way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that I think that we, when people go through hardships, when people they disappear, they get under the covers, and they don't want to be seen. You know, they feel vulnerable, they feel exposed, they're scared, they don't know what to do. I have four sisters. I have a sister who will get under the covers and shut off her phone for days, and wait for the train to hit, and then try to push it off the rails so that it doesn't hit. And I'm the person who gets on the track, sees the train coming 20 miles away, and am setting up, you know, setting interventions in place. And so we all, those pieces of our personality, whether it's resilience or our kind of internal spirit, whatever it is, we respond to tragedy and hardship differently.
And don't you find that to be inherent in our nature already, or should I not say that? I know what Lori just said, that she, you know, expected certain people to not step up and vice versa. But if you're a fighter most of your life and you tackle things head on, like we started off strong with this pandemic, as it's gone along, it's, you know, all of us have become a little bit more vulnerable, defensive, annoyed, weaker. You know, I walk in the room, and I haven't even said anything, and my husband will just say, "What, honey?" And I'm like, "But I didn't say anything." It's like getting to that point, you know, and I think we spent a little too much time with each other. But the main point being that if someone tends to be a little bit more sensitive in nature, would they react to a situation like this in a more sensitive manner and maybe just hide?
Yeah, I think that resilience is one of those things that it's a whole ball of wax, because I do think we develop resilience. I mean, there are people who you throw them down and they get back up, and you throw them down again and they get back up even more with more fight and more spirit. You throw them down a third time and it's like, bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who fall down the first time and they just don't have the wherewithal. And some of that is, I mean, that's based in so many different things, whether that's based in nature versus nurture, whether it's learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think resilience boils down to kind of one thing is, do I believe I have the tools to deal with whatever comes my way?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can
even
learn,
if temporarily.
Right?
What's that?
Okay. You can also, along the way, I do believe that you can also learn some of those coping mechanisms. Maybe it's not the next most resilient person that always gets up, but you still can improve your spirit, right, and yourself through times like this.
Oh, I think
and
so.
And improve your resilience.
Right. And I think we're all personal testament to our own resilience. Like, a lot of times if we think about our own personal hardships, we don't need to read stories about heroes. Like, we are our hero. All of us have been through these difficulties that we look back and we go, oh, my God, if I had to go through that again, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't know how many people would want to repeat this.
Well, you know, again, this is the first time we're going through anything. And I always say I wish I listened to my elders when they were talking about the Spanish flu, when they were talking about the plague and the depression. I wish I took notes. But you know what? When you're seven, you don't care. It's not a product of your day. It's never going to hit you. You don't even comprehend that. But, you know, I think about, and I don't want to go off on a whole big healthcare in this country, but I'm always thinking about the mental health care that we're not fortifying. And I'm thinking about, especially the nurses and the doctors, that we're going to see the byproducts of PTSD with all of this that we're going to see probably easily for the next year. And I'm not saying cops won't find it too, but I'm talking about the healthcare workers that are right there in the emergency rooms and have been seeing this since February. What's going to happen to them, and how are we going to care for them long term?
How to care for the caring professionals.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know a single therapist who is not booked right now. I don't. It's a struggle to find clients, to find, you know, long-term therapists, because even people who weren't a person who wanted to see a therapist are trying to see therapists. And the physicians, like you said, everybody in healthcare, everybody trying to help everybody, but everybody wondering how to get their own bucket full. And we all fill in different ways, right? Like, what fills my bucket isn't going to fill yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mindset more than anything, though, because you and I both know that we can go on a vacation. We can go on a vacation for 2 weeks, come back, feel amazing, and 2 hours later we can feel like, you know what? So it's more about mindset, because once we're back, what are we telling ourselves? You know, what's that? Talk about a radio station. What's that radio station going through your mind over and over and over again? What are those thoughts that you say to yourself?
So now let me ask you.
And don't
you
think those thoughts are important?
And how do you stay afloat? Again, somebody who's constantly, you know, absorbing somebody else's shock every day. How do you keep yourself afloat?
That was a really good way of putting it. That was a really interesting analogy. I think, you know, just speaking of that, I mean, we did go on a vacation recently, and I know there's a lot of travel shaming, but we did. Mm-hmm. We went to Alaska, and a great place to socially kind of distance. And we came back, and my first day back, I thought, oh, ouch, this is a lot still, you know, and it was just a gentle reminder of what I'm saying is that it has to come from within. It has to, we have to rebuild day in and day out every day. And so I think for me, so most of it is exercise. A lot of it is mindset, laughter, trying to make sure that I call my friends. I think my biggest tip, here's my biggest tip to people. When you feel like you have the least amount of time to do something, it's probably when you need it the most.
Right. I do not have time to jog around the block. But that's when I go, and it calms a lot of thoughts, you know. Exercise is pretty major.
Again, I drank the Kool-Aid years ago, so I have a gym in my house, so I've been working out more since all of this started. But then again, that's my drug of choice. It's not for everybody. But the truth is, you have to take care of your physical being. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not preaching about don't do this, don't do that, don't drink, don't smoke. I'm not saying that. But the truth is, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to sort of, you know, balance that with taking a walk, walking the dog, doing whatever you have to do to get out of yourself and just free your body. Because it's just, you know, four walls is not what we're supposed to be contained in. We're supposed to be out and active and burning off the meal that we ate. That's really what we should be doing.
And, you know, Lori, I think that's perfect. And I think that, it comes down to, again, what are those messages? Because let's say that, you know, you did plow through a bag of chips and you didn't exercise. So it's really, what are you going to bed with? What are you saying to yourself? Are you shaming yourself? Are you condemning yourself? Are you thinking, you know, are you globalizing that behavior? Because, you know, sometimes I have to step outside of my thoughts and look at them from a distance. And that takes a lot of training and call myself out and say, you know, is that really true? Is that really productive? I mean, so you ate like crap today. So you didn't exercise. You can't globalize your behavior, and then because then you just spin it, and then it becomes you, and it becomes the next day and the next day.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes a ritual. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so what if just for today?
I mean, I don't want to oversimplify things because, again, there's just so many layers to this. You can't just say, well, do X, Y, and Z, and that's going to bring you to a closer to a center. But what, I mean, again, we've all developed bad habits. I have to admit, I've done it too over the past 7 months. How do we develop the good habits that will sustain us for until mid-2021, which is the numbers that I'm getting, till things stabilize somewhat?
One of the things that I think that we could all do that's kind of simple on a day-to-day basis is just think about the nervous system and how do we reset it. And it doesn't mean we all have to go do yoga for an hour. We don't have to be master meditators. We can just reset the nervous system in a moment. We can, you know, walk into a room and when you look at your husband and you think, oh, you again, then we have to know what works for us in that moment. Do we need to, you know, step outside? Do we need to, open up our phone, the notes on our phone and journal? I journal on my phone all the time. Do we need to reframe a minute and say, to focus on what I can control and who he is and what he says is not within my control? Do I have to surrender to that? You know, just little mindful things, you know, take a 5-minute walk. I mean, just thinking about our nervous system and what must it be going through right now? And then what can I do to be kind to it throughout the day? So if I've been sitting for a full hour, can I get up and walk around my house for a few minutes before I sit back down again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. I think it's great. I mean, again, it's something that, you know, everybody could do it, but are people going to put pen to paper and actually, you know, consider this? You know, it's like, because it's very easy right now, especially 70% of the workforce is working from home. And I could tell you, and Angie, you're on the East Coast, I take the trains. And when I tell you there's no such thing as rush hour anymore, there's no such thing, and Liz, you probably won't get this, there's no such thing as the train being held up because somebody's holding the door. That's not.
No.
So 70% of the workforce is working from home. So it's so seductive to fall into bad habits. So that's the whole thing. When we had to go to work, we had to be responsible, be at a desk and blah, 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 blah. And, okay, we went out for lunch and we brought maybe the poor food choices back. But we were out, we walked to the deli to get whatever. Now we're home and we're sitting in one place and we're Zooming. And that's all our day consists of. So it's just, I could see a lot of people not being able to say, well, you know what, I'm going to get out of my pajamas and I'm going to treat every day like I was going to work. And I have to say, I did. When I'm home, whether I'm going into my office or not, I'm dressed. I'm dressed for the day because that keeps me sane, because it makes me feel like I'm being productive. But a lot of people aren't doing that. So that's where I think it gets into chaos.
And I think resetting the nervous system is a great point. I do.
Well, and I like that, Lori, how you said you kind of tapped into a big one, which is what works for me. And you found out early on what works for you is to get up and get dressed and to do that one small thing, because that it's like the guy who did the TED talk on, you know, just make your bed in the morning or whatever. And the whole premise was that one small thing leads to another small thing.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
for all of us, it's like if I sat down and I said to you, when did you love yourself the most? Like, when did you love the image looking back at you in the mirror? When did you love the skin you're in? And then if we went on a journey and you took me to the movies and you told me about that time when you looked in the mirror and you loved the skin you were in, and we just sort of retraced our steps. And then we just found ways to kind of recreate that time in your life. And it's never going to look exactly the same, but because it's more about what makes you feel good and what works for you, because we all are very individual in how we survive and thrive.
Now, Liz, you run your magazine from your home. I mean, how does this speak to you?
Well, you know, I have always worked from home, so I'm not used to everyone else being home with me. That has been, you know, very different because, you know, maybe one has a license, one doesn't. So, you know, there's a lot of added extra time and taking, you know, certain kids certain places. And I understand that, you know, in terms of friends, that's important. I'm not talking about their out partying. And I do believe, you know, and like I said earlier about resetting the nervous system, which Angie had mentioned at the very beginning when we got on this topic, is you have to do what works for you. But I'm really into what I do. You know, it's something that I have fallen in love with, and it kind of isn't a distraction and an escape, but productive, you know, in publishing an article, a write-up, a post. But, you know, there are four other people in this home at the moment. And it makes it has made it very challenging. And so just to press the publish button is a huge, huge accomplishment right now. And I'm not working at the pace I was. But then I caught when Angie said, you know, that, you know, you have, you know, what can I do to be kind to myself during the day? Well, maybe you're not publishing two, but you're publishing one, or you research two or three. you know. So I've had to reset different lists in terms of Gemma Magazine, and I also have gone live, you know, for a good part of the summer just because I literally couldn't keep up when everybody was home, you know. And we're busier now that the fall has started, but when it was truly like in the midst of it, the core, I just decided to interview people live stream, and that still made me feel productive. You know, it did.
Yeah.
So I think you have
to. I love what you
kind of reshape it, readjust it.
I think that's pivotal, is just kind of shifting your expectations and realizing that when life changes, we have to change with it. And so you realize right away the way that you run your magazine had to dynamically shift. And so if we're still holding these expectations of ourselves that we are supposed to still be dynamos, you know, in the bedroom, out of the bedroom, I mean, I'm being, you know, serious here, right? Like you spend every day with somebody, you're not like, oh my God, I want to jump your bones. And by the way, let's, you know, go to the grocery store together.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think it's shifting expectations.
Correct.
With that.
I just don't want to, you know, sometimes I've seen a lot of couples develop a dependency too that didn't have that dependency before, you know, because they're home together more. And, you know, I try to be mindful of that as well, because I can find myself asking like, hey, do you think this picture is better than this picture? You know, he will help me a lot with the photography. And I want to be able to have the confidence to go off of my own eye and aesthetic the way I did before, you know, although I do appreciate his advice. So, expectations and having realistic expectations is very important, especially in something like, you know, an online magazine. But
I'm going to ask.
I would not say that we're having candlelit dinner, though.
Oops. I'm looking for a sound effect for that, but I have no.
I am lighting candles, but they're more for meditative purposes. We will get back to
Oops. I have no sound effect for that. But what I'm going to ask, if you're done with that, Liz, I'm looking, I'm squinting, I have nothing.
No, you don't need but to have a sound.
I have none. But what I'm going to ask Angie is, I have to ask, do you think that during this whole period that social media has been more helpful or harmful to this situation? Political climate included.
Well, if I had to go from a political perspective, I think it's a hot mess. I think it is really disappointing from a political perspective. From a social perspective, I think that it depends on how you use it, because it's just like with everything. I mean, you see what you're looking for in this world. The world isn't as it is, it's as we see it. And so it depends on where you're hanging out, right? So if you're using social media because there's more free exercise on there than ever before, then yes. If you're using social media because you want to compare how much your life sucks compared to everybody else's, then no. If you're using social media to get your political advice, then you may or may not be going to the wrong place. So I think that we just see what we're looking for. I mean, and I remember I used to say this to my daughters, you know, again, the world isn't as it is, it's as you see it. And so if you wake up in a bad mood and you go to work in a bad mood, you're going to have a bad day. That's just the way it is, because that's what you set your intention to. So if I get on social media, sometimes I have to take a cleanse, and I've been taking a cleanse for about a week now. And then I have to go on with very specific intention, know exactly what I want to get out of it and why I'm going on. And then I exit gracefully.
Thank you. You know, and it's hard because that's all we have now. That's the whole thing. That's the ironic part of it. It's just people are just so, you know, this is our link to the what we think is the real world. So now that we're in lockdown, this is all we have, and we're forced to make that the dominant force in our decision making and our, you know, inclination, which it was always a mistake, but now we're becoming victims in this. So that's why I was curious about your thought on that, because it's just, I see a lot of people that were never online before online and making comments and just becoming this is what they live for, which was never the case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, where are you hanging out again? Because, I mean, there's lots of good that can come from any endeavor. There's lots of good that can come from exercise unless you do it too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good that can come from a glass of wine for relaxation unless you drink the whole bottle. I mean,
that's
so
exactly
everything
right.
Everything is going to be moderation. And I think one of the biggest things for me is just trying again to step away from my thoughts and realize that my thoughts aren't always accurate. And guess what? The rest of the world might not think that way. And so I try not to take people personally, and I've tried to really work on that and realize that, especially now, you know, sometimes my husband and I will compare stories at the end of the day of phone calls we had to make, and we'll get to laughing over like sometimes people's behavior maybe isn't the best side of them. And I would say to him, but none of us are at our best right now. And we have to not take people personally and realize that everyone's just kind of doing the best they can.
Yeah.
I agree.
And also I liked what you said about, you know, putting certain thoughts on hold. Sometimes you have to say, you know what, I can't go there right now. It's just too harsh, or going to put that to the side for a second, and maybe and maybe not I will come back to you.
Exactly.
What I think also is the reach of all of this, the pandemic, it has such long roots that we don't even realize what it's going to affect until we're there. Because I remember 2 weeks ago I was talking to my assistant. Now my office is right across from Carnegie Hall. And every year we had a Christmas party in the Wayfarer restaurant, which is right on the corner on 7th Avenue. And it's closed now. And she was talking to me the other day, and she said, you know something? At this time of year, last year, we already would have booked the room for the Christmas party.
Wow.
And we're not doing, but the whole thing is, I didn't realize that until she brought it up. And like I said, as we move towards, okay, Fifth Avenue, Christmas time on Fifth Avenue is going to be very different than it was last year. There's not going to be any Radio City Rockettes. There's not going to be a Thanksgiving Day parade with the same amount of the Broadway, the Rockettes that were, you know, in the line. It's just going to be floats, and it's going to be virtual. So you don't realize how far it reached until you realize what's eliminated. So I think that's what I'm trying to say, and I think that's a harsh reality for a lot of people.
Yeah. You're right.
I
don't think we're even going to have any idea of the long-lasting repercussions of all of this. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's part of how we survive in this world, is that we don't know what we don't know. And so we just have to take this one day at a time and keep showing up our best. And if we have a day where we don't, like I said, then we go to bed and we say, okay, what if today wasn't my day? But I'm not going to shame myself so that tomorrow turns out the same. I'm just going to wake up and know that things are going to be different. And so, I think I'm glad I don't know what lies ahead.
We're probably better off, you know. I said to somebody yesterday, you know, again, I'm a New Yorker. New York is going to turn this around. We're going to be back. I don't know when it's going to be, but we've done it before.
Right.
We'll do it again. And it might be 2 years. It might be less than that. But we will see, you know, the climate of change that will, you know, refortify everything that we've known and everything we're used to. But when? Who knows? But it will be. I can guarantee that it will be.
Yeah. I think it'll take us a long time to get back to, you know, it'll be a while before the New York looks the way the New York used to look, and it may never look exactly the same. But then I think we have to ask ourselves, you know, then what? You know, when people come to me and I feel that they're getting into a victim mindset, I always say why I think is a slippery slope. So I always encourage that we try not to use why, like, why did this happen to me? Why did, you know, my mom have to pass? Why do good people die? Why? We could spend all day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, our brain has to try to make sense of it. So it asks why a lot. But then my big question is, now what?
Yeah. Yep.
Now what? Yeah. And that's where we all have only the control that we have, right? So now
that's
what?
Right.
What can I do? What can you do?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. My favorite phrase lately is, when you're walking through hell, keep walking. That's it. Don't even look to the side. Keep walking till you're on the other side. That's it. And I'm only halfway kidding, because when I get off the train in the morning, and I've told Liz this, I could see the latitude and longitude of my street, which I've never had to see before, because when I got off the train in the morning, it was full of people right across from Carnegie Hall. There's people seven people deep. Now I see the entire street. So as opposed to looking at the people that are boarded up and all the, you know, all the businesses that have, you know, brown paper in the window, I keep blinders on it and I walk into my building, say hello to my doorman, and go up to my office, and that's it. And you keep it moving, and you keep it optimistic, because if I'm in business, other people are. That's it.
You're focusing on what you can control, and
that's just
what you can do on a day-to-day basis to keep your business thriving.
Exactly.
I think we have to do that, you know. Just focusing on what we can control, what's within our realm.
And that helps other people too,
and
because we live by example.
Right.
And your show is a reach to everybody, right? So
yes,
you're doing
exactly.
Good.
Well, we're trying. It's like I was looking for, wait, where was the button? The Debbie Downer button. There you go. And I was gonna reach for that before I said, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, and I couldn't find it in time. I had to put my glasses on. I couldn't find it in time. But the whole thing is, the point of the show is not to be a downer. But the thing is, again, there's this negative side that we're all in. But, you know, again, every negative is a positive. We have to keep moving. We have to keep moving and figuring out what we can do on a daily basis. And again, the whole one day at a time theory, it certainly applies to everything.
Yeah. And I have a thought too, you know, speaking of managing expectations, you know, for me personally, as much as I've had to fight the anxiety, some, you know, feelings of, you know, some depressive feelings like the rest of us, I've also learned a heck of a lot. So I used to want to, I used to not be very satisfied unless I was tormenting my body. And it turns out that a simple walk makes me feel like Superwoman now. And I've really, really pulled back on what it means to make myself feel good and healthy. And I've, I've really pulled back on, is it necessary to do everything you were doing, or is taking a walk just as good, if not better? And I think we've all learned a little bit about ourselves in many, many, many different capacities. Don't you think?
I think there's a gift and a strange package in all of this. I certainly think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. There always is. There always is. And that was yours, obviously.
What did
you
learn? Yeah.
Huh.
I definitely learned not to be kinder to my body. What'd you learn?
I think I learned to let go of the little things. I'm a control freak. I'm a double Scorpio, so we control everything. And I think I let go of a lot of stuff that I couldn't control and just kept centered in the stuff that I could do. That's really it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest thing for me. Just, okay, I can't control not being in my office. There you go. It's up to the universe. That's it.
Yeah.
Liz, what'd you learn?
I feel like I've learned I'm more resilient than I thought I was, you know.
Good.
Because I found myself, you know, I tend to be the most hyper in the family. So at times I can be very annoying, but, you know, I've had to kind of tone that down and, you know, just be there and listen more for the kids and for my husband. I just remember in my head the thought going that, you know, I really hope at the end of this, if there is one, and there will be one, that, you know, I felt like I learned something and I just didn't collapse under the covers, you know, that I just wanted to be there for someone, even if it's just one of the three children.
That's enough. That's wonderful.
And I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I want to be there for all three. I just, you know, it's just gotten a little bit more taxing as it's gone on longer and longer. That's all.
Yeah. I hear you.
So.
Yeah.
But that's
I feel like
I have learned.
And I think, if we all kind of focus on that, I don't have a single friend who at some point hasn't told me that there's been some things they've really learned about themselves, good and bad. Some of it's a little ugly. Some of it puts us in the back of the closet and makes us cry. But guess what? At some point, we needed to get that message, and we got it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's the now what? What am I going to do with that message now? Because I also learned to slow down. I learned that I don't need 25 jobs. And maybe 23 would do me just fine. And so shifting priorities, right? A lot of people have lost their jobs, but a lot of people have also realized, you know what? My job sucked. You know, I don't want to commute an hour.
Yeah.
And it's a massive shifting of priorities. The world is really looking at their lives and going, what do I need and what do I not need?
Exactly.
That as well. Yeah, we don't need as much as we, you know, the essentials are okay. You don't have to have everything.
We're all literally cleaning out our closets, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Exactly.
That,
you know, I always said, you know, all of my aunts and uncles had bought a house on one income in their 20s. And why? Okay, economy was different in the 50s and the 60s, but they lived on what they absolutely needed, not what they wanted. They had one TV in the living room, one car, that was it. It wasn't about going out and having, you know, and again, I like going out to restaurants a few nights a week, but none of my relatives did. You ate in the house. You ate what was cooked. That was it. So it was a very different mindset then. And I hate to say it, a lot of us are spoiled. So now it's a time to like regroup and rethink and say, you know what? I don't need this. I need this. All the essentials are invisible. And that's the way I always think anyway.
No, I agree. We can't wear them. We can't eat them.
That's it. So, Angie, this is the part of the show that we always say to our guests, go plug yourself. So if there's anything you want to shout out about what you're doing, your website, I mean, it's going to be on our Facebook page tomorrow anyway, but if you want to give it a shout out now, please do so.
Okay. Well, my website's AngieMillerFitness.com, and I have, you know, I have articles on there. I have an article on there about resilience. I have an article on there about the evidence-based information on exercise and how it mitigates anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I have workout DVDs on there that are going, I'm turning them into downloads. And I just, you know, share space and mental health and fitness. And I host a webinar that it's mostly fitness related. But yeah, I think my whole mission is just how to bridge the gap between mental and physical well-being. And so, you know, if you go to my website and you have a question, you can reach out. But Lori and Liz, I really appreciate you guys having me on here.
Oh, please.
I was
really looking forward
to this.
Oh, great. No, it was awesome for us.
And you'll be on again.
Yeah.
I hope so, because, you know, truthfully, this is going to be there's going to be a little bit more longevity to all of this than we'd like. So, again, I'd like to assemble a nice health team to come on board and give us, you know, the data from time to time. So if you could come on a monthly basis, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing I think it would be good to talk about is perfectionism, and I'll just leave you with that thought. I've been doing a lot of work on perfectionism as a human, and I write about it, and I've done some video blogs on it, because I think that some of that, what we're all going through is, we all have a different name for it, but Lori, you kind of put your finger on it when you said I had to let go of a lot, and some of that just is, as driven women, we tend to hold ourselves to these super heroic expectations, and when COVID hit, we really struggled because we found that we couldn't be the person we thought we were all the time. And so I've had, I think perfectionism is a big one, and it affects a lot of us in ways we didn't even realize. But I think there's a lot of strong, driven women out there who struggle with it, for sure.
I love that. But you know something? I think that's a great topic.
Yeah.
I know I would benefit from it. So I think that's a great topic for the next time you come on. So, you know, definitely put a bookmark in that. I definitely would like to explore that a little more.
Yeah, I think it would be an amazing topic. And I'm a work in progress, and I would imagine a lot of us are.
We all are. Yeah, we all are. But I'm going to bring a martini and lay down on the couch, and I'm just going to talk, and you can listen to that entire show. But I think that's going to be great. I think that's going to be a great show. Angie Miller, thank you so much for joining us, and you'll be on again. And again, tomorrow, anybody's listening, it's all the information. If you didn't write it down, now we'll be on our Facebook page tomorrow. But Angie will be joining us again and fortify us with everything we need to get us through this. Thank you, Angie.
Thanks
so much, ladies. Have a great day today. Thank you.
You too, darling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
See, that's a lot of information.
Angie Miller.
That's interesting.
That is a lot of info. You know what? That's a great show. That's going to be a great show,
yeah.
Perfectionism. Oh, my God. Like I said, I'm going to have
a martini in one hand. I mean, that's a hard one to let go.
Yeah, yep. So you know what, Liz? You're going to be taking care of that show. And I'm just going to be lying down listening to everything.
Me? No. I'm not.
You're
going to
control the show. You're going to control the show. And I'm going to have my martini, and I'm just going to be laying down, and that's it. And you're just going to have to fill in the blanks. That's going to be your job. So just get ready.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. But if
you
think
know,
about it, how many women out there are used to accomplishing, and men, 85 things a day? They can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially now, there are so many blocks that we have that we can't. I mean, you know, these blocks that we can't get over, we can't get around, we can't get under. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, most people don't even know that might be a lot of the frustration that they're feeling, you know? So that's going to be a great topic.
It is. That's
I think
good
it's
going
to be a great
Lori.
Topic.
Like, yeah, that is a great topic. You know, uncovering that just, I can't, you know, do everything that I want to do. They might be okay with that, but maybe it's more in the mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's
well,
a
they
lot
might,
there.
They
so.
Might be, it, you know, everything is so subconscious. You might fit and then all of a sudden you're not. I mean, the mind is such a delicate balance of chaos and harmony. That's what I've always said. It's just, you know, we don't know what we're okay with. Are we really okay with this? Am I dealing with this the right way? We don't know. So that would be a good show to have people listen to and decide for themselves. So we'll have
no,
her
it
back
would.
On. Yeah. So tell me what's going on with Gemma Magazine. Gemma Magazine, what's going on?
As you know, going from one extreme to the next, I'm trying to distract and divert people from, you know, what's going on, obviously, with fashion and style. And hopefully today I will be publishing my article on Brad Fisher. He is a composer and a producer and a musician. And he has something, he's had a lot of press on him, but he has something coming out today he's releasing. He's super talented, very handsome young man. And I also, and yesterday I just published something on Michelle Peterson. She goes by M-I-S-C, the tarot reader. I swear if I could get her at this house, I would pay her $1,000 that I don't have. And
what,
I want her
why,
to read.
Why would you want her in the house? Why would you want her in the house? I don't understand. Why?
Oh,
you want her in the, in your house?
Correct.
Why? Why?
I want her to read all of our, I want her to do some tarot reading on this crazy family. So.
Oh. She'd have to be in the house. Okay. Okay.
Or we could do, Lori, sorry, we could do it in picnic tables in the backyard.
Can,
that would work as well.
Yeah.
You know?
There, that's all. Yeah. Yeah.
Picking that stack of cards on the right or the left. And my daughter and I were having the best time speaking about this last night. Like, how can we get her over here? And we're going to have a tarot reading party. And I mean, that's something that teenage girls could do, and we will do in the future. But, you know, it's fun, and when they get it right, I'm always like, oh my gosh, that's me. So, you know.
Did you ever have it done before? No,
and I can't believe I have you.
Yes. And let
do
me
you believe
you
in it?
I believe that there are sensitive people that have gifts, and they communicate with you know, people that have transitioned. However, what I've learned, and I had a party once at one of the offices of one of the businesses I had, and we had somebody come down and do cards and read everybody in the room. And we had her booked for, oh my goodness, probably 3 hours.
Yeah.
And what she asked us to do is bring in pictures. And I said, I'm not bringing in a picture. You're going to read me cold. Because if I bring in a picture of my mother and my father, no. No, I'm not doing that. And let me tell you something. I went in and I said, I don't have a picture. I don't have anything. I'm giving you my first name. That's all I'm giving you. She could not read me. There you go. But then, no. Now then, I remember, I don't know if you heard of this guy on the West Coast. This guy was John Edwards. He was a big medium. Okay. Now, years ago. Yes. Elite's mother had passed many years ago. That's about 5 years ago. And the Mother's Day after her mother passed, I wanted to get her a reading with this guy who was a colleague of John Edward. And I refused to give her name. I refused to give my name. I just made her go in cold because I said, there's no reason. All you need is my credit card when she comes out. You're not getting anything before. And he read her perfectly. So see, there are there are people that got it, and he didn't have to Google me. You know what I'm saying? Because you could say, well, they're Googling, they're doing this, doing that. I didn't give any information. I gave her first name, not last name. I said, I'm going to be there, and you run my credit card when she leaves. You're not going to go, and he got her 100%. So, but there are charlatans.
And how did
she?
Was she shocked?
She loved it. She couldn't believe the stuff that he knew. And there was, you know, the truth is, it wasn't like, well, your mother and father met in high school. He read stuff about babies that were miscarried. He just got it that nobody else would have gotten this information. So that's where I say there are some people that are sensitive, and there are people that just, you know, again, with this lady that, I had an office in Staten Island, and this lady came in, and I said, get the frig. No, I'm not bringing a picture of my mother or my father. Nope, 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 nope. No, that's it.
Huh.
So it, again, there are...
I like that you said no. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Oh, I wouldn't do it. I was not going to do it because if you're going to read me. I'm sitting in front of you. Look at me. Read me. I don't have to give you any information. You should have it. So... But it's fun. I mean, maybe this lady could come to your house and read you outside with your little family. Why not? Yes, why not?
That's not a good read. That's not a good
read.
Why? I think we'll go with the teenage daughter and her friend. I mean, I got to find out exactly, you know, who she – I think she's asked to an event or to do a reading, you know, it's a go. You can do it. I'm not sure about the ages, but I think 16 would be fine. So that is on yesterday. That's on the site for yesterday. So I'm just, you know, trying to keep up with that. Yeah.
That's fun. That's fun stuff. Yeah, I mean, look, whether or not, you know, you have it done, it's good information for everybody. And I want to give a shout out to if anybody's looking at the new sizzle reels and everything, the pictures that I have on my new sizzle reel with Liz is Sherry Rubel, who does an enormous job of taking pictures. But not only that, she makes you very comfortable. And I have to say,
and
I have not
gorgeous.
Had.
You look gorgeous.
Thank
oh
you,
my gosh,
darling.
But, you look gorgeous.
But let me tell you something. The backstory to those pictures. Now, Sherry and I, unfortunately, we walk in a room and we start laughing the minute we see each other. And I don't know why it is. I have no idea why it's been happening. But John always rolls his eyes. We just start laughing hysterically for no reason. So after that photo session, she had told me, when you come to my house and take the photos, she's got a beautiful teenage daughter. And she said... She's going to be studying. So what we have to do is after the session, we're just going to have to go outside and we could hang out, we could drink. That's fine. So that's what we did. We made two of the photo sessions, and she's great. She had those pictures done inside 20 minutes. So then we went outside.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
A few drinks later, I'm about to leave, and I don't know what happened, but we started laughing to a point where – she's hysterical. I'm holding her up. Her daughter actually came running out because we're throwing each other against the wall. We're laughing that hysterically that her daughter had to come out, and she looked at me. She goes, what did you do to her? And I said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Cleaver. I mean, I had no – what could I – but we were just laughing. And I even said to John, what did we laugh at? He goes, it doesn't matter. I don't know what you were laughing at. But she is that type of photographer. She makes you so comfortable. I mean, you're not going to have a laughing fit like that, but she's a wonderful photographer. She just takes pictures of rock stars. I mean, she's just wonderful that way.
Oh, wow.
And nature and stuff like that. So a shout out to her. And Lori, who was on the show last week, Memento Mori, is just a wonderful, wonderful philosophical fashion trend. And if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see her website there. And she's just absolutely wonderful and trying to be inspiring. I always say it's inspiration that you could literally wear over your heart. And
yes,
I think
I need to put her on my Instagram ASAP.
You should.
And
I think she's sending us something because she asked for your address. Did I tell you that? I think she's sending us. So look in your mail. I think you're going to be getting.
Now I'm going to want to do the selfie situation, which is not good.
We have to. Why can't we do that? I'm going to do it anyway. Of course. You have to ask me twice.
Oh my gosh.
It.
I love her.
Of course.
I love her teeth. Yeah. She's so wonderful. I did write her a little note.
I think you're going to get the pink. You're going to get the pink. I think I'm going to get the black and the white. So once we get that, you let me know when you got yours. and we'll do a side-by-side, we'll do a shout-out for her. Yeah, but
that would be
it's
great.
Just wonderful stuff. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I mean, you could wear yours a little bit longer than I will, but, I mean, I could wear mine a little bit now, and then I'll wear it for, you know, summer, but I'll definitely wear it for the pictures.
Yeah, definitely. But, and you know, I was going to tell you just one last thing. Sometimes those pictures of, not necessarily of you guys holding each other up, but just those laughing pictures are come out to be the best, Lori. Or
do.
Holding each other up. They come out because they're just so natural, you know, and spontaneous. So I think that's great.
Well, nobody had cameras then, but it was like a real brutal. It was like one of those insane moments that it's just like, what happened? And, you know, again, I felt bad because
so much
her daughter
fun.
And yeah, it was fun, but her daughter and her friend were studying, and we were specifically told, you know, try not to make. And there we were. There we were. It was like being in high school all over again and being separated because we started laughing. So that was. Yeah, that was that day.
That's so fun. That is fun.
And that's our show. Speaking of that day, and that's our show. So once again,
wow.
I'm gonna thank my lovely co-host Lizzie for joining me
and
making a wonderful time, and Angie Miller for joining us, and she will join us again. And next week, Tammy Lee Webb, who you will love, the salt of the earth. Not only is she, you know, encyclopedia of health and fitness, but she's probably the nicest person you'll ever meet. So she'll be joining us next
wow.
week, and hopefully the rest of you will be doing the same. And thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week, 1 p.m. East Coast time, 10 a.m. my lovely Liz's West Coast time. And
yes.
Be kind to each other and just do the best you can in all this. And we look forward to seeing you next week, same time. Say goodbye, Liz.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And for sure, stay safe, keep your mind healthy, and this will pass.
And take us home, Nina. Goodbye, everybody.